Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. Probably a few things we should talk about in wrestling this week. We're going to cover the lead up to Elimination Chamber. We're going to talk about Kevin Owens going bowling. We're going to talk about the possibility that we might see Batista back at WrestleMania. And our special guest this week is Jay Riso, aka Christian, one proportion of the brood. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Show.
A proportion.
I couldn't remember how many of them there were.
One third?
It's one third, isn't it? Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Very good job. Like that.
We'll leave it as a proportion.
Yeah, I loved it.
Nice one for everyone that's been tweeting us throughout the week at Pro Wrestle Show on the old Twitter. Loads of things that you want us to talk about, which we will hopefully cover in this show. Also, getting a lot of hits on our YouTube still, which is amazing because we don't really push it that much. Will's chat with your man Bret Hart has got, it's like over 35,000 views now.
Ooh.
It's going very well. So if you've not seen it, check it out. Just search Pro Wrestling Show. And all the things we talk about, all the interviews that we put out, that we film, will go onto the YouTube, and make sure you subscribe and you won't miss them. Guys, loads to talk about. Let's go straight in. What do you want to start with?
I think the Becky Charlotte Ronda angle is probably the hot topic of the week. I see that a lot of fans have kind of bought into this whole... Rah, Charlotte's booked so strongly, I hate her. Which is kind of played into the WWE's hands. I see that Meltzer is reporting that this has always been the plan, so the WWE aren't actually playing off the real life resentment, I think is the word, that Charlotte has endured because of her name and legacy, perhaps. But I would have preferred to have seen Becky versus Ronda one-on-one, personally. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would go along those lines. But I don't mind. I mean, the WWE have obviously got months of programming to fill before WrestleMania. And in doing this, I mean, Becky's clearly not going to stay suspended for 60 days, is she? So, I mean, what they're going to do and putting Charlotte into the mix. The one thing I do know with Charlotte is that she will be a good big match performer, and the match is not going to hurt because of her. I just would have liked a singles.
Do you feel that she's been put into this just because of the fact that it's probably going to be the first time women headline WrestleMania, and they feel that a lot of the women's resurgence and popularity has been down to really good workers like Charlotte?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a case for that. And you have to say that Charlotte has been at the forefront of all the memorable matches. I know that, you know, Banks and Bayley had that tremendous affair in Brooklyn, but Charlotte has been at the core of a lot of the great matches over the past few years. She always delivers, always. I can't remember a bad pay-per-view match she's had. And, you know, from that standpoint, I feel like they're just trying to crowbar her in. And there's also the element that, is Rousey going to be here after WrestleMania or long after that? Like, you know, in the near future, there's going to be a break. So is the time now, and then there's no other window? I don't know. What do you think, Will?
You know, triple threats are always a bit of a cluster to book and to agent. A cluster bomb, exactly. And so there's always that difficulty. But you've got, you know, two of the best workers in wrestling, and in wrestling, not just in women's wrestling, in Becky and in Charlotte and in Ronda, someone who has improved to an incredible level over her first year. Like, you'd think she'd been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years if you didn't know about, you know, her own personal history. I'm fine with, you know, adding Charlotte to it makes it more WrestleMania suitable, makes it more of a main event. That's fine with me. My only concern is that this is starting to skirt just maybe a little too closely to the Daniel Bryan stuff, to the point where I even literally heard at one point, This may have changed because of the bringing in Vince McMahon and making Vince McMahon the heel rather than Steph and Triple H, and having them saying, nope, you said sorry, you can go into the main event. But there was some talk about them building to Steph against Becky as a match at some point. And I even heard at one point
SummerSlam,
one of the things. Exactly, SummerSlam. But what I did read one report of online, and something that may have changed because of the Vince McMahon being added to the angle and him taking the heel authority role. But at one point there was consideration of her actually fighting Stephanie McMahon at WrestleMania for a place in the main event. And you're like, that's literally exactly what you did with Daniel Bryan, pretty much to the letter. Don't copy yourself. You've got a chance to do something right now which would be history making, which we could be talking about in 20 years time, and instead you're carbon copying yourself. So I just want to see the next 7 or 8 weeks. This has the possibility, as I said, to build to being a historic match, a historic build, something we talk about for years to come. So try and do something a bit different and original. I think it's gone well so far. Don't mess it up, WWE, all right?
I think whatever happens, the three of them will put on a great show, however it's built. I mean, the actual event itself will be good. Alex, was it you on your brand new Twitter, which you feel free to shout out now?
Brand new, yeah. So my Twitter has been refusing to follow people. And if I reply to people, apparently it kills the tweets. So I've started a new Twitter, Alex M underscore Talksport.
Because the thing is that before you had like several thousand followers and you weren't following anyone, so you just looked like a real arrogant prick.
I did, yeah, and maybe I am.
Just keep that for memento. Look, was it you that that tweeted the curveball about Ruby Riott that I saw earlier?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so I thought it was, but someone said on Twitter, if it wasn't you, then it was someone very knowledgeable, saying, wouldn't it be interesting if Ruby Riott actually won the title on Sunday, and then there's no title on the line between
You know, I really enjoyed the fantasy booking.
I have a fantasy booking.
Hang on,
Do it, Will.
There's no bell to ring. Will's fantasy booking again.
Fantasy booking, do have Ruby Riott.
Sorry, can we just make that the universal tone of fantasy booking?
Yeah, I'll do that every
time. Woo!
So, Ruby Riott beats Ronda thanks to interference from the outside. Becky gets reinstated, beats Ruby Riott for the title at Fastlane, and then gets entered back into the main event, but actually she's the title holder.
Because she has to be in the main event because she's the title holder.
Correct. Now, although that's very clever, I've already seen a graphic leak for Fastlane. There was a few matches that were leaked on there, and it has Charlotte versus Becky. So one has to assume that Becky has to face Charlotte to earn a place in the main event at WrestleMania, as much as I prefer the idea we just talked about. But I thought it was very interesting, because I don't know if anyone saw the tweet from Ruby Riott, where it was obviously kayfabe, but mixed in with a nice bit of shoot, where she said, they're not even talking like, oh, it could be Ronda or Ruby Riott at WrestleMania. You know how they normally preface things with, oh, you know, she's got to get past Ruby Riott first? That's really an afterthought. They're literally just saying, well, Ronda Rousey's going to be at WrestleMania. Like, how disrespectful that is to an event that's meant to be happening at Elimination Chamber.
It's all a bit weird, isn't it? And let's not fantasy book it too much. And I'm sure in the next few weeks it'll all change, and Vince will change his mind, and it'll just get mixed around anyway. Other big news from Raw this week, the Revival winning the tag titles.
Oh, it made me happy.
Is this purely done just because they're annoyed and because WWE suddenly have the consideration that people like them might just go elsewhere because there is an option?
I think it's definitely done to placate them. 1000%. But you know, if you actually look at the Raw tag team scene as well, they're extremely deserving, and I think, and I know Will's going to agree with me on this, as you probably will too, John, the match was great. It was the best tag match that's been on Raw in ages that I can actually remember, and I think I timed it. They were allowed to go 15 minutes. Like, for Bobby Roode and Chad Gable and the Revival to get 15 minutes, I would challenge anyone that they've had that on the main roster since they've been on there. All four of them.
Look, we're going to hear from Christian later in the show. Obviously, one of the great tag wrestlers of any generation, and talk to him about this Revival and about the pop they got when they won it. But you look at, I do agree with you that I think that an element of this is placating them, with AEW very much looming like a big old shadow over them. But I do also think that The Revival, when they first came up, after brilliant tag match after brilliant tag match at NXT, when they were called up after Mania 2 years ago, the initial pop and the initial push they got was really exciting. They came out and beat the New Day clean when they first came in and absolutely trounced them as well. And it looked like they were going to get a real push. And then injuries caused them to basically miss between them the majority of that year. And then 2018 was completely forgettable for them and we all got frustrated with it. You just saw the way that match wasn't getting a lot of heat in the room initially, and it took its time to build, and they really built something special. But by the time they won it, the crowd was so behind it. I don't think Vince can ignore that. And, well, like I say, we'll talk to Christian about it later, but the tag, we have the deepest WWE rosters we've had for years and years and years. One of the best ways to keep talent happy that currently don't feel like they're getting the right push they need is to push that tag division and make that much more of a feature on Raw. And that's how you also help to fill 3 hours of television.
It's funny that you say about the Revival as well in that first initial push. I remember interviewing Matt Hardy and he said that that was what was going to happen. It was going to be the Hardy Boys versus the Revival. But of course, it was actually the Hardy Boys that got injured and prevented that from happening. It was Jeff, I believe, who had a shoulder injury, I want to say. So when you look at it that way, the Revival probably would have won the titles then. And look how long it's taken them to get back to that spot, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
It's also like the Good Brothers, like they're another team that could potentially jump ship. Obviously, they've got history with the guys from AEW. So it'd be interesting to see whether they get... They're on SmackDown now, right?
Yes.
I lose track because everything seems to be becoming very blurred, and I'll get onto that in just a second. You know, they're another team that really, if they want to have them around, they're going to have to placate them as well, because you know they've been miles away from the tag team sort of championship for quite a while as well, and what's to say they're not just going to want to take an easier schedule and go and have fun with their friends as well.
Well, the WWE have this problem all over the roster. They really do, because there's a lot of talented individuals that aren't being utilised to their full potential or even maximising screen time, like as you just said about the Good Brothers. I mean, when was the last time they had a consecutive run on SmackDown, consecutive episodes? But you know, and they're only going to be more problems, you know, because of the superstars that are either coming back or about to be called up post Mania, which kind of leads us on to Kevin Owens.
Yeah, for sure. So Kevin Owens, they teased this week, if you've not seen it already, and you'll have seen him on Twitter just talking about bowling. It seems to be like his... it won't be his new persona. But,
great gimmick.
But just... I quite like the realness of the videos that they've done recently. They did it with Mustafa Ali yesterday, just sort of standing in the snow. Just, I mean, it's clearly just out the back of like the gym that they were at when they were travelling or whatever. But yeah, so Kevin Owens throwing down a terrible bowl.
Kevin Owens' gutter ball is maybe the most babyface thing I've ever seen.
And it's interesting they're going to bring him back as a babyface, isn't it, really? But I think it'll be good for him.
I think he's ready for that. The reactions he was getting prior to his knee surgeries and essentially the double turn that happened with Lashley on his last night, I think the crowd have been ready to cheer for Owens for a long time. It just happens that he's extremely good at being a bad guy. But coming back to WrestleMania, you know, I have to wonder where he fits in. One would think picking up with Lashley, because storyline wise that's what put him on the shelf, but I'm very excited to have KO back. I think, you know, and if we were just talking about the tag team division, if Sami Zayn comes around at a similar time, I'd love to see those two guys as the tag champions. So there's lots of possibilities for Kevin Owens. It's just, you know, the one thing that excites me is that the fact that they rarely bring a guy back before WrestleMania unless there is a real plan. Yeah. Finn Balor at WrestleMania 33, he was back at live events like a good 6 weeks before Mania and got nothing.
And you, do you think, Alex, and Will as well, that the fact that they've said he's going to be back in about a month means he will have a match at WrestleMania? Because that is what all the sort of the big sort of rumour makers online are saying.
And I think, I'll let Will pick this question up, but I do think the fact that he said he doesn't know if he's going to Raw or SmackDown leads me to believe there could be a run on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan hasn't really got a challenger, an obvious one. Could be.
Well, my only problem is, and I know we're debating whether Owens comes back face or heel, and I think he can work either because he's such a great talker, but they've got an abundance of pretty good heels on SmackDown with Joe and with Daniel Bryan and with if he sticks around, there's Rusev and
Andrade, Nakamura.
Andrade and Nakamura. And, yeah, exactly. So I think they've got an abundance of great heels. So if he goes SmackDown, he'd almost have to be face. Whereas on Raw, they could probably do with a couple more kind of decent mid-cardy, upper mid-cardy heels to add to the mix. So particularly once Seth Rollins wins the title and it becomes a legitimate title again, not the nonsense Brock Lesnar never turns up title.
Hmm. Just before we talk about someone who might also return for WrestleMania, it's been rumoured for a long time, things that look like they were going to happen, and apparently he could be on there. There is a rumour going around that I've seen this morning that the women's division may not be the brand split anymore. They may just have the women just being across both shows, what with the women's tag titles coming in. And is that a good thing? I haven't really been able to decide yet, because obviously with Becky and Charlotte sort of just coming onto Raw this week, and they're just not really mentioning the fact that they're meant to be on SmackDown. Does it muddle it, basically?
I tell you, it's something that I was really keen on a year ago, 2 years ago. Actually, with the strength of the women coming through NXT right now, once the likes of Bianca Belair, Kairi Sane, Io Shirai and stuff are up on the main roster, I think you've got a deep enough and strong enough roster to keep it across two brands. But with the tag titles, you'll see people jumping around anyway. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I maybe at this point kind of stick fast and give it a go at keeping it SmackDown and Raw.
I don't think I've ever seen titles defended across two shows successfully. I really recall you remember when Chris Jericho won the original Undisputed title, and then for a while until Lesnar made it SmackDown exclusive, they had it bouncing across both shows, and the champion would be the only person who bounced across both shows. Interesting tidbit on that. When they first made that rule at the first ever draft, do you remember who the women's champion was, who was on both shows? Either of you?
Mickie James?
No.
Beth Phoenix?
No. She wasn't even there then.
Victoria?
2002? No.
Oh, right. I was just throwing up guesses.
2002, Lita?
No. I'm obviously asking you because it's pretty. It surprised me when I saw
ridiculous.
It.
China.
It was Jazz.
Oh, Jazz!
Yeah. Jazz and Triple H had the honour.
Oh, why did Jazz and Taz never make some kind of mixed tag team?
They really should have been.
Yeah. The Jazz and Taz connection.
But anyway, I mean, that kind of casts a little bit of doubt to me on how the women's tag titles will really work. It's just really clustery to move people across the shows and, like you said, muddle the waters. But then other superstars are tied to the shows. It's like, it just makes it all very illogical, really.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Now, look, to round up the WWE, before we hear from Jay Riso, Christian, about his new TV show, which looks absolutely mental.
Will loves it.
The one person that was rumoured to be coming back to WrestleMania 35, but then it didn't look like he was going to because Triple H tore his pec, is Batista. And all the reports online are saying that he was spotted in Connecticut this past week and he's been having a chat. This could be a chat for literally anything. It doesn't necessarily mean it's for WrestleMania. He could be talking about a special they're going to do on him. They might be releasing like a figurine of it. Like, it could be literally anything.
Yeah.
Do you guys think we will see Batista on the main show at WrestleMania 35? And if so, who against?
I mean, if they're calling him in, they have a definite plan for him. And Triple H has already been cleared to train. Someone would think he could compete at WrestleMania if he wanted to. PW Insider, I think, said he was in Connecticut last Thursday. And then, surprise, surprise, you know, reports of AEW extending an offer to him, and he's receptive of, apparently, too.
And Andy popped up on Twitter in a photo, the ultimate dad bod photo,
just,
him and Chris Jericho.
Just on time. Just
yeah,
on time.
Exactly.
Irvine and Bautista.
So, you know, his negotiation leverage is at an all-time high, I'm sure.
Ryan Satin has reported that he's 50-50 on returning at this point based on how talks have gone. I mean,
he famously doesn't get on with creative, does he?
I mean, technically, if it's a yes-no decision, aren't you 50-50 with...
Well, yeah. But, I mean, he's said a lot of times in the past that he wants to be retired by... Well, not by Triple H, but his retirement match at WrestleMania be with Triple H. So if it isn't Triple H, I can't see that he's interested. And maybe if they have pitched another opponent to him, that's why he's 50-50.
But there's talks, isn't there, that Triple H could enlist the help of Dean Ambrose, but then they've just turned Dean Ambrose face. See, I'm not even convinced Dean Ambrose is leaving. I still think this could be
an elaborate work.
No one really knows. We won't get into it because the conversation could go on for hours.
Yeah.
But there is talk that Dean Ambrose could be the person that Triple H gets to fight his corner. But I just don't see how that would work. They've just turned him face again. Are they going to turn him heel really to face Batista? Or is Batista going to be the heel? Like, just... I don't know. Well, I'd love to see Batista versus The Rock, but that's me fantasy booking.
you saw a slice of that at WrestleMania 20, yeah, I believe. Yeah. But I'm with you. I'd like to see it.
That'd be great. Look, that was the kind of news in WWE. I'm aware we're a little bit pushed for time and we need to get Christian on. So, Will, please just tell us the backstory of this new TV show that Christian's
doing. You don't need to hear it. I do a fantastic intro into the interview that he actually even says... Great, like gives me love for giving him a big push. But actually, beforehand, and I'm going to leave this in just because I thought it was really nice. If you haven't listened to the latest Ed and Christian pod of awesomeness, he recently missed an episode that Edge ended up doing with his wife Beth Phoenix, and he missed it because he went to his grandfather's funeral, and he talked very eloquently on the next episode about his grandfather, who at 93 years old, still full of life, and I know it's a story which particularly recently meant a lot to me, and I know that Al has gone through something similar recently as well. So I said to him beforehand that was kind of off air, but he ended up giving a real answer, so we'll leave it in there. Just that I thought that was really lovely how openly he talked about that, and you know, he went on to give his granddad the shine again. So let's hear that and then my big intro to his new show. But actually, before we start, I just wanted to say I listened to the latest podcast today, and the stuff you were saying at the top about your granddad who recently passed. I had my last grandparent pass away recently, very similar, 93 years old, lived a really full life, and I know it's sometimes weird talking about that stuff on something like a podcast or a TV show, and it was really lovely hearing your thoughts. So I just wanted to say, like, from someone who's gone through it recently, that was really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. You know, it's one of those, you know, just to be able even to say his name. And, you know, he meant a lot to me. And he, you know, he was, like I said, he was a good man, never one of those guys that never said a bad word about anybody, was never mad, never ever saw him in a bad mood. And, you know, after I learned that he passed, and I was sad, but then I thought about what a good life he had and how everybody around, he always made everybody around him feel good. And then I started to look at it a different way, kind of happy that he had such a great life.
Yeah,
so, I appreciate you saying that.
100%. Right, should we talk about people kicking the crap out of each other with weapons?
Yeah, let's do that.
Now, people who are regular listeners to the show will know that not only am I a massive nerd and a massive history nerd, but also if I can combine those things with something I love like pro wrestling, and those things all come together, then that's something that's going to get me excited. And there's a new show coming to history next Tuesday, 9 o'clock, Night Fight. Real armor, real weapons, real fights, real people. It's history entering the world of medieval martial arts, the Night Fight Club, in their brand new exclusive series. And not only did that's going to pique my attention anyway, sounds pretty cool, but then when they announced that Christian, aka Jay Riso, is going to be heading up this whole thing, then you know I'm going to get in for it. So I've seen the first couple of episodes, it's absolutely superb, really, really enjoyed it, and delighted to say that Jay joins us now to chat a bit about his new show. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and thanks for the little build up there. That was great, and like you said, any time we can combine, you know, a couple things like Night Fight and wrestling, it's perfect.
How much knowledge did you have of, like, the world of professional battle armored combat before you went into this?
I was probably not unlike you. I might have heard about it or maybe seen some clips of it, but I hadn't really sat down and never watched any of it. And, you know, it's a relative underground sport. And when I signed on to do the show, I was sent a bunch of footage, and I was just blown away and almost like, why haven't I seen this before? Like, how come I didn't watch this? Where's this been all my life, kind of thing? And when that was happening, and I was thinking about doing the show, it got me really excited about of having the opportunity to, you know, have these guys step onto the stage that history has given them to show the world what they do. It's such a competitive, hard-hitting, action-packed sport. And like I said, to put it in wrestling terms, this is WrestleMania for these guys to step onto this stage and to have the ability on such a big platform to show a mass audience what it is that they're doing, so you know they're going to bring their very best.
Considering you came to it reasonably, like, with only a kind of minor knowledge of it, what surprised you most when you first saw it happening live in front of you?
Yeah, that completely changed my perspective when I saw it in person. and just the competitiveness, first of all, the technique that they use with the weapons, and really how well conditioned of athletes they have to be, because you know they're carrying an extra 80 pounds of weight on top of their body with the armor, and the weapons are no joke. They're full size scale weight weapons that you would see in historical eras. They're obviously blunted, so nobody's losing limbs, but to be able to have to wield those, as well as, you know, carry this extra body weight around while you're trying to impose your will and you're trying to be effective and win this competition. To me, the way that they were just able to dig down deep in their guts and keep fighting through all of that, whether there was adversity or whether they were doing well in the fight, there was no quit in any of them. And to me, that's what I took away the most.
I was genuinely blown away with how kind of brutal and hard-hitting it is, because, you know, in your mind you think about like live-action role-playing and stuff like that, and it's, you know, all right, fun and games, but it's not, you know, it's not people whacking each other over the head with, as you say, blunted instruments, but, you know, with the helmets, with the heavy armor, with everything else involved. And I don't want to spoil it too much for people, but in the first episode there's a guy involved who, former MMA fighter Gilbert Smith, who it hasn't come from that world. And when he says right at the beginning, like, he'd only put on the armor for the first time that day, you hadn't seen any of the fighting yet, but you immediately know this guy's in trouble.
Yeah, and you put it in perspective, you know, he's a world-class athlete. Obviously a physical specimen, you know, really mentally tough, strong guy, great athlete. And it just, you know, shows you the talent of the other knights and the experience level that it takes to compete with what it is that they're doing. You know, these guys, a lot of them come from the Armored Combat League here in the U.S. And there's a national team that competes all over the world. You know, and these are the best of the best. So yeah, it's a different world when you get in there, and you know, he couldn't get out of the starting blocks, and that just kind of shows you, you know, how tough of a competition this is.
What's the reaction like? Because we've already had a few episodes air out in the States.
The reaction has been great. You know, like you said before, I think that you know, it's not like I don't know if they have medieval times over there, but there's like a themed restaurant thing called Medieval Times, where you know, you go and eat and you drink and you have a good time, and people come in and put on a show and do jousting and like sword fights and stuff like that, kind of for show. And people are like, oh, maybe it's like that, but it's not. It's the opposite of that.
We don't have medieval knights.
The reaction.
But Jay, we do have actual castles here and that sort of thing. So, you know, Game of Thrones is filmed here. So we feel the history a bit more.
You don't have to worry about it. But I think that the reaction has been like, you know, what did I just watch? Or why is this show, like, where's this show been all my life? Like that sort of thing, you know. People, the reaction on my social media across the board has been really positive, and people like it. And that the thing is that Night Fight is there's nothing like it on television. It really is a unique, one-of-a-kind show that hasn't been done. And I think that also makes it stand out.
Now, there's a good chance I won't win any awards for originality for this question, but kind of bringing your past life and still current life with the stuff you do with the network and the podcast and everything, but bringing that and Night Fight together, if there's somebody from your time in the ring, either past or present, who you'd like to see go and give it a go in the Night Fight arena, who would you like to see get in there and get involved?
Well, I think the first guy I would like to see currently would be a guy like Braun Strowman. I mean, he just looks like a barbarian, right? I mean, throw him out there. I mean, what is he, 6'7", 6'8", 350 or 60 pounds? I can imagine he'd be pretty effective out there with his strength and his size. And then I think of a guy like Seth Rollins, who to me just looks like a knight. You know, he just looks like that. He's got that good-looking guy with a you know, great physique, and he's got the shiny hair and the beard, and you know, to me he just looks like how you would picture a knight. That would be him.
Well, it's coming up this Tuesday, 9 o'clock on the History Channel. Excited for people to see it and get a bit more of a reaction to it as well. We do talk pro wrestling on this show quite a bit as well, and I just want to get your thoughts on a couple of things going on in the world of WWE at the moment. Well, first of all, kind of going into doing the TV host stuff, from your perspective, I guess when you have to have that natural charisma to be a top heel, definitely, in the world of wrestling, did you always think that something in TV or in radio or something was something you'd like to do after you finished in the ring?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wanted to acting has always been something that I was really interested in even before I started to wrestle. And you know, I did some hosting things on the WWE Network and stuff like that, and definitely it was also something that I enjoyed. And so to have this opportunity, and you know, obviously, you know, when I'm out of the ring, when I'm retired, you're looking for new challenges and new ways to challenge yourself, and try to get better. And so, you know, when this opportunity for Night Fight came up, you know, I jumped at it, and you know, I really, really, really enjoyed hosting it, and look forward to having a chance to do you know, more seasons of this show and other projects as well. So you know, I'm just thankful that I got this opportunity.
There's a lot of people who'd look at your work and see you as a brilliant kind of pure worker from your time in the WWE and beyond. And I wonder, we've seen the likes of, there's a new UK Performance Centre just opened here, I'm sure you've seen, and uh-huh. And we've seen guys like Shawn Michaels, who seems to genuinely engage and get involved in that world. When he first came over, we thought it might just be a gimmick thing to get people out and you know, a legend is there, so we'll come and see it. But he seemed to have really right. engaged with the training side of things. Is that something you've ever thought about getting in and teaching kind of the young crop of talent coming through?
Yeah, I think it's always important to give back. And, you know, without wrestling, without WWE, obviously I wouldn't have, you know, the career that I've had and the other opportunities and things like that. But I do think it's important when you've gained knowledge and experience to give back. And you know, I live in Tampa, and the Performance Center is less than a 2-hour drive from me, so I have been down there time to time. And it's funny you say Shawn Michaels, because you know, sometimes when he's out of town, I'll go sit in on his class and help him with his students in his class down there at the Performance Center. So I do get a chance to go down from time to time. It's something I have a lot of fun doing. It's just, you know, trying to find the time, because I'm so busy with all the other projects that I've kind of picked up, especially in 2018 was super really busy for me, which I'm thankful for. So, you know, never say never for anything.
Who are the kind of young guys coming through? I know we hear you lot playing up a couple of the UK guys. Pete Dunne was on your show recently. Tyler Bate, a nickname which I can't repeat on UK radio, but it's great.
Yeah. you know, great. We'll say that.
Yeah, exactly. Spot on. So who are the kind of young guys coming through, young girls coming through, who you're really excited about?
As far as NXT goes?
Well, yeah, NXT or the guys in the main roster, like wherever.
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as NXT goes, I really like the work that Tommaso Ciampa has done mm-hmm. over the last year. I think that it's a real skill to be truly hated these days. Johnny Gargano is another guy that I really like watching. Aleister Black as well. On the main roster, you know, I really like the stuff that Revival has been doing the last few weeks. They've really stepped up their game, and they're out there performing with a chip on their shoulder. And I think, you know, to me, obviously coming from a tag team background with Edge and Christian, you know, tag team wrestling will always kind of have a special place in my heart, and I hope that it thrives. And for those guys to go out and compete and to kind of will themselves onto the show every single week with a prominent role is kind of like the same thing that we did with the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys. You know, you just have to go out there with a chip on your shoulder and prove it and force your way and will your way onto that show every week. And it seems like those guys are doing that. So I've been liking what they're doing as well. Well, I'm also really intrigued with the women's tag team titles that are coming up here at Elimination Chamber. I just think that all the women have really stepped up and done an amazing job, and I think that match is one I'm really looking forward to as well.
Yeah, that's coming up this Sunday. We're doing a big preview for it on this show, and yeah. I am intrigued by that, because people look at something like a chamber match, or with like in your guys' era the TLC matches, and they think, oh, that's an easy match to make great, because you can do big high spots and you can do all sorts of crazy stunts, and you know, the basic work doesn't need to be as great because you've got all those spots in there. But how hard is it to lay out a specialist kind of gimmick match like that, particularly for these women? It'd be the first time doing anything like this.
Yeah, no, it's a challenge, you know, especially when there's multiple, especially with this one. Now there's not just one person in those pods waiting to come out, there's two. So you know, anytime there's moving parts like that, and you have you know, a countdown clock that you have to be aware of as far as the timing goes, it's a bit of a beast, you know. So but you know, the women have been knocking it out of the park with every challenge they've been presented, so I wouldn't expect anything less than a great match.
And I do want to great that you mentioned the revival as well, because I thought their match on Raw last night, picking up the championships, was absolute fire and properly great tag team wrestling. But it didn't necessarily until the finish get like a really big, a lot of heat from the crowd, I didn't think. And I wonder whether it's kind of one of those cyclical things. Is it because tag wrestling isn't given the proper rocket strap and given the plug that people aren't hyped about it? Or like, or do people genuinely not get as excited about tag wrestling?
Well, first of all, I appreciate using the rocket strap. That's a good little throw in there. I think that, you know, it just depends on the crowd. You know, every city is different, and that's the cool thing about wrestling in front of a live audience. You know, every audience is different, so you have to figure out a way to get them to react. And when you're building a match like that, I wouldn't be too concerned about what's going on during, but if you have them during the closing sequence and if they're there for the finish, then you've done your job and you've hooked them. Even if they haven't necessarily been, they weren't there from the start, if you have them when you're trying for false finishes and you're building to that finish and you have them by the finish, to me, you've done your job.
I think there is as well, with the women's tag titles, with the work these guys are doing, we're at a point now, you mentioned those guys on NXT, but I think we've maybe got the deepest roster WWE has had in years. So when we hear that it's difficult to fill 3 hours of Raw and keep people engaged for that whole time, I hope that it is tag wrestling that gets that big push and gets a real focus, because, you know, that will fill the time and more and keep people engaged.
Right, yeah, and it's, you know, like I said before, you know, going out there and performing with that chip on your shoulder and willing your way on there every single week and having that connection with the audience where they want to see you every single week. And I think that as long as they keep this momentum that kind of started to build, that could very well be the case. And I hope so too, because, you know, like I said, tag team wrestling to me on any given night, doesn't matter what match is on the card, a good tag match can steal the show every time.
Now, before we do give, as we said before, the rocket strap to Fight Night one last time, it's confusing because we've got a show on our station called Fight Night, so if I say it the wrong way, I can only apologise. The big topic in wrestling right now is everything that's going on with AEW and the guys in Vegas and Double or Nothing, and in your career, you seem to have done absolutely everything, held every title, the European, Hardcore, IC, obviously multiple time tag champion, but it did take a long time before you got that chance as a singles wrestler to be pushed right up to the top of the tree. Was there ever a point in your career that if a company like AEW had been around that you might have had your head turned, that you might have been tempted?
Well, I mean, I did go to TNA when I left WWE briefly in 2005 for 3 years, and when I went there, it was solely to prove to myself that, you know, even if it was on a smaller, a smaller platform, that I could carry main event matches and programs and promos and be kind of be the face of a show. And then I needed to do that. I needed to gain that confidence to go back and be able to do it. You know, it just happens for different people at different times. You just have to be confident in your ability. And, you know, sometimes you have to, I always kind of went to work every day with the mentality that nobody was, I always said to myself every day before I walked into the arena, I said to myself in my head, today they're going to know how good I am. And that's the attitude that I carried with me every single time. And I always just felt like at the end, you can't hold talent down. If you have it, eventually it's going to shine through and you just have to keep pushing.
If a young guy or girl came to you who didn't feel like they were getting the push they wanted and asked your advice on whether or not a move would be a good idea, or, you know, what would you say to them?
I would say, you know, I would never want to steer anybody in a certain direction. You know, if they asked me for certain advice, I would tell them. I would say, I would put it on myself. I would say what I needed to do was I needed to take a chance on myself. I needed to bet on myself. And if you're willing to bet on yourself, then sometimes it works out. And if you believe in yourself and your abilities, then that will be the case.
Great. Great stuff. Look, Night Fight does come up this Tuesday on History, the first episode for you live across the UK on TV. So last chance, put that rocket strap on, Christian. Why should people tune in on Tuesday night?
first of all, there's no show like this anywhere on television. I'll guarantee you that right now. But if you like hard-hitting, action-packed, competitive, brutal at times, competition, this is the show for you. And I think that you'll very much get a sense of you know, to put it in wrestling terms as well, you know, I think you'll, especially with the one-on-one interviews that we do with the Knights, you'll get a real personal connection to some of these guys. Some are a little bit brash, some are a little bit more laid back, and I think you'll find yourself cheering for certain guys and maybe wanting certain guys to lose. And I think like I said, nothing like it on TV. Tons of action, the armor, the weapons, just, it's insane. That's all I can say. You got to watch it.
Honestly, like I say, I've seen the first two, and it's a hell of a lot of fun, so well worth checking out. Jay Riso, a.k.a. Christian, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jay Riso, a.k.a. Christian, brilliant stuff. I really enjoyed the interview, a really good chat. And, feeds in nicely to us building up to Elimination Chamber because of the big plug he was giving to the women's match. Thought the stuff was really interesting on how you lay out a match like that, considering the stuff with TLC that he did in the past. But of course, we talked about his time in TNA and AEW as well there, and there has been some AEW news over the last few days. The latest episode of The Road to Double or Nothing released on YouTube. Cody Rhodes has now undergone his surgery to repair his knee, but in the same week, they've announced on the Road to Double or Nothing that he is going to be competing on May 25th in Las Vegas against a mystery opponent. So it sounds like he's fully expecting to be ready to go in 3 months' time. They also announced the first women's match, which will see Britt Baker go against Kylie Rae, going against Nyla Rose in a triple threat match. We saw the kind of Nyla Rose, Kylie Rae angle being pushed when they did the big press conference in Vegas last week. So look, the card gets better. The build gets better. It's very, it's really exciting to see what they're going to put together at the event. I know we're all pumped for it, and there'll be lots more AEW coming over the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
I imagine
the pre-sale sold out, didn't it, as well? So that's really.
I read via Meltzer, I believe, that according to the website traffic and such, that 42,000 people tried to get tickets.
Wow. So they're going to sell it out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, the second wave of tickets will probably go like hotcakes too. It's just very interesting that I wonder if they use that scope to say, maybe we can try and do bigger arenas as we go, which they of course will do as they grow. Interestingly, on the Rhodes story, mystery opponent, you know, it could be someone on the roster. Do we think it's a signing that they know will be there by then, but isn't now? That makes a very interesting reading.
But if it's
too.
Someone that's on like WWE, for example, or New Japan, then maybe they'll have a 90-day thing. So it's going to be someone that's leaving pretty quickly.
On that note, I think I read the other day that Ibushi has done 2 years with New Japan. Of course, we know that doesn't exclusively mean he might not turn up in AEW, but
deal with Ring of Honor still going, it'd make it pretty hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for now. But after Madison Square Garden, do we think that deal is still rock solid? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Who knows?
We don't know.
I don't know.
The Cody thing was funny, wasn't it? Because I don't think they realised how bad his knee was, and it looked like he'd had some, you know, he said it himself on Twitter that he'd had a bit of a worry that it was a ligament, but actually it was just the meniscus, which is why he can sort of rehab it in a month and a half, and then come back. So that's really positive. New Japan, obviously, a lot went on. Did you, I imagine Will's watched New Japan. I haven't got around, I've seen what happened, but I haven't got around to watching it. Did you watch it, Will? Well,
yeah, the first thing on New Japan, before we get to that, is tomorrow... I think it's going to be tomorrow early morning, because they've said the announcement is going to be at midday Japanese standard time. So I don't know what Japanese standard time is right now versus what we are in the UK. I think they're about 7 or so hours ahead, so it's going to be happening very early morning. We're going to be getting this announcement, but there's going to be a major announcement regarding the event in August in London. It feels like that's a bigger event. When they came over previously, New Japan, they ended up running shows in America the same weekend, and we missed out on a lot of the bigger talent when they did it. This feels a lot more legitimate. They announced it during Wrestle Kingdom, so keep an eye on our Twitter page if you listen to this tonight as we're recording it ahead of that announcement, and we'll be reacting to it there. But they had their New Beginnings show. I thought it was the best New Beginnings show for years. This, as much as we love to play up New Japan and how brilliant they are at the great shows, the Wrestle Kingdoms, the Dominions, I think the kind of the undercards, the mid-card stuff, maybe because I'm not watching week in, week out, I don't get the same play from it, but I think they struggle to do really great big events outside of that. But I actually thought this was really good. Okada against Bad Fale was really good. They had an Evil Sonata tag match, which was superb. A really good juniors match, which saw Taiji Ishimori retain against Ryusuke Taguchi. But the big one was main event, Hiroshi Tanahashi against Switchblade Jay White. The two had faced off three times in the past year already, a very back and forth battle between them, and White beat Tanahashi at the King of Pro Wrestling, which gave him this opportunity. And in 30 minutes 28 seconds they put the title on Switchblade Jay, and I was genuinely stunned that they did this booking now and that they did it at New Beginnings. A really interesting decision from Gedo and from the guys at New Japan. I'm really pumped for it. I think Jay White has been, outside of the guys that have now left for AEW, the most interesting character that they've developed over the last year. Obviously, all the stuff he does with the Bad Bullet Club is going to give him more international play. But if we had any thoughts of whether or not he was, you know, whether or not he wasn't a made man already, it's pretty clear that he is. Now has the title on him. I think it's a really nice, bold decision from New Japan, and I'm really excited to see where they go with it.
Interestingly, I read that Omega was going to drop the title, apparently, to Okada if he kept it. Sorry, if he'd stayed with New Japan, I mean. So it's interesting that they've gone in the direction of Switchblade. And what does that mean for when the Madison Square Garden show and their bookings moving forward? I just wonder if an opportunity has opened up for him that wasn't previously there, and they're running with that, and you know, you would expect that Okada will work with him in the near future.
Yeah, I think there's an element to it of, oh no, we've lost a bunch of our American and international guys with the Kenny Omega going, with the Young Bucks going, and we've done really well in those markets over the last 3 years because of those guys. So do we need to, if I'm being cynical, I'm saying maybe that's why they've made this decision. But actually, I think it made sense from a storytelling perspective, and it didn't feel cynical in the moment.
Shall we talk Elimination Chamber?
I think so.
What do you think, Jonathan?
I think we should talk about Elimination Chamber. Are we going to do our usual, what's going to go on? Who's going to win? What's going to go down?
Look, we'll do our big review afterwards.
Yeah, we'll keep it concise for now.
Let's just pick who we think is going to win every match.
Okay. Who wants to start on which match?
Oh, God.
Women's tag elimination. I more and more feel like they're going to do a switch and bait here. Mm-hmm. Have Bayley and Sasha Banks not win the title and put it on one of either Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, the Riot Squad, or Nia Jax and Tamina, and then have them play the heel role going into Mania and have Bayley and Sasha have their big moment at Mania.
Oh, God, Tamina and Jax. I mean, I would love to see Iconics pick it up, like a real tag team, either them or the Riot Squad, but I could totally see what Will's going to say. For me, with the Boston Hug connection, they either win it and then they lose it before Mania, and then we've, you know, you've got the big split at Mania, or they don't win it and then they have the split.
Guys, I've got a member of the police that need to use the studio. And I'm being, it's not the Metropolitan Police. It is the band The Police. They are forcing me out of the studio. I don't know what this means for the podcast.
Look, what we'll do is we will... I know that the big man's got to get home, so AMAC is excused. John and I will finish off the preview of Elimination Chamber in a little while.
Yeah. I trust
we'll
you
have the UK Indie Roundup
as well. Do that. I trust it.
All right, well, in the podcast form, this will literally take 2 seconds for me and Will to be together, but in real time, it's probably going to be several hours. Thank you for listening, and please continue listening in about 2 seconds' time. And as if by magic, there's just two of us now.
I'm sad AMAC's gone.
Yeah, he gave me a big hug as he left. So.
Of course he did. What a man. Yeah. I'm sorry I couldn't come in today, but we'll do in studio next week, definitely.
It's all right. We had a little chat about our little AEW thing that I'll inform you about after the podcast. Very interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is make sure your passport's in date for May.
Oh, God. Right, we need to bang through this because I've now got food coming. So
all right, good.
There
what
are more
ordered?
Important things. I have ordered a sweet chili chicken situation.
Wow.
And yeah, the food's about 5 minutes away. So,
all right, fine. Well, we'll just do this. And when the food comes, that's when the podcast ends. So Elimination Chamber 2019. We'll start with the Cruiserweight Championship match. I don't know whether this is on the kickoff show. Probably is.
It is.
Of course it
is.
Good. Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa. Tozawa's already been the Cruiserweight Champion once, hasn't he?
Ha, 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 ha. That's all I can do when we talk about Akira Tozawa.
I thought the food had come and you were choking. No, good. Do you think that Buddy Murphy deserves to have a bit longer of a run?
Yeah, I really like Buddy Murphy as the champion. But if they did a change, the more play that 205 Live can get because it's consistently so good on TV, the better. So either way with this one, I'd be pretty happy.
Is that the only match that's on the kickoff show?
It looks like it.
That's
certainly
good. At least they're not bumping like one of the sort of really big ones that we're looking forward to, like they weirdly
do. I mean, Strowman and Corbin could easily be on the pre-show.
I mean, that's
thank
the next
much.
One I was going to talk about. Like, I don't care. Is it just because they want to get Strowman a match? Because that's what it seems like.
That 100% appears to be what it is. There's no necessarily storyline push on this, unless they're going to do something more with Mr. McMahon. But he's so involved and intrinsic in the Becky and Charlotte stuff that I don't think... I just don't think that works necessarily for me, but you know, there we go. It's a match. It's happening. Strowman will win. Move
the
on.
End. The end. All right, let's look at the Intercontinental Championship handicap match. They seem to be putting Finn Balor through as many challenges to make him look stronger and stronger as they go. Obviously, to be involved in that last main event for the Royal Rumble, not the main event, but the last match of the Royal Rumble, he had to go through several people, didn't he? I can't even remember now. I've kind of banished it from my mind. But
he had to beat Jinder, didn't he? Yeah, he had to beat Jinder first, and then he went into the multi-man match and won that. Look, Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush in a handicap match against Finn Balor, which was announced on social media instead of on a live show, when they struggled to fill 3 hours of Raw anyway. Just seems bizarre, this one. And what I really don't get about it is, even though I like Leo Rush a lot, I think he's great on the mic, and I actually like him in ring a lot as well, Bobby Lashley's meant to be an absolute monster, an absolute beast. He's meant to be the sort of man who could go out there and challenge Lesnar for strength. It's maybe brilliant heel booking, I don't know, but it doesn't feel like it to me. I feel like you're underplaying Lashley by having him have to do it in a handicap match. So I suspect Balor loses in a screwy fashion, but eventually becomes, you know, will he get his WrestleMania moment maybe and finally win the IC title there?
Or potentially is Finn Balor, just as we've said earlier, maybe a placeholder for Kevin Owens, who could come and maybe give Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush a bit more of a challenge in the ring and on the mic, possibly?
Yeah, but Balor with the IC title just makes too much sense to me if they're not going to, for now, almost like the IC title can be a placeholder before we get, I'm determined we're going to get, with the way they're pushing Balor this year, Balor and Rollins post-Mania. Maybe not immediately, but at some point during 2019, that'll be a feud that we get for the Universal title. In the meantime, put the IC title on him, make him look important, but I don't think it's going to happen this weekend.
Okay. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. Another weird one. The Miz, what's it called? McMiz.
McMiz.
McMiz versus the Usos. Usos, obviously, great tag team, both in the ring and on the mic. The Miz and Shane McMahon, looks like a fellow and his massively younger brother having a go.
Do they need to have them retain once first before losing it? Like, it feels like they're going to lose it either at Fastlane or at Mania, splitting them up and putting them into a match against each other. I thought that would happen at Mania, but we're getting closer and closer. It's just been such a condensed build, this, going from what was quite a long build to them getting the titles to then suddenly being like, oh, we've got 3 months to now rush through this story. If I was to guess, I'd say they retain this weekend, but I love the Usos, so I'd have no problem with the Usos being the guys who take the titles off them to then build to a match between the two at Mania.
Are we still thinking that The Miz and Shane McMahon are going to go against each other at WrestleMania? So something's got to happen. They've got to implode in some way between now and then.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So maybe they retain, then at Fastlane they lose, and then you've got a short build of intensity, and then they face each other, and Shane McMahon will obviously jump from coast to coast, and that'll be it. So yeah, how it all goes down, isn't it? Let's talk about we'll get to the Elimination Chamber matches at the end. So we'll talk about the Raw Women's Championship match. We talked about the possible curveball of Ruby Riott winning. I mean, it's unlikely.
I don't think that actually happens. No. But I hope Ruby Riott gets a really good showing here, because you can shine in a loss, and Ruby Riott's a good wrestler. So let's see her go 15-plus minutes with Rousey and really give her some problems, but eventually win out.
Yeah, makes sense. Right, Elimination Chamber matches, bearing in mind your chili chicken is probably about a minute away now. We'll start with the women's one then, for the Women's Tag Team Championship. We kind of talked about it just before there, before Alex left. Who did you say you were going to go for?
I Bayley and Banks seems like the obvious one, but I wouldn't be that surprised if they give it to one of the heel teams and then have Bayley and Banks, like we were just saying about Balor, have a Mania moment.
Yeah, I'd like to see Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, strangely. They've been getting a lot of time on SmackDown recently.
Yeah, I mean, at least it would pay off the fact that Mandy Rose, like you say, has been getting so much time with the whole Naomi storyline. But they could continue that storyline without having to have it affect the final outcome of the match as well.
Can we agree that the worst thing that can happen is that Nia Jax and Tamina win?
Which makes me increasingly think like that's what's going to happen.
If that happens, then they've totally lost my interest straight away before it's even really started, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, men's Elimination Chamber match. Obviously, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and now Kofi Kingston, who on SmackDown was decent, did over an hour, put on a good show, showed that, you know, like, and Kevin Owens has said this on social media, that he actually is a very underrated performer, and he kills it every night, and he has been doing that for a decade. So, I mean, he deserves to win it. I don't think he's going to stand a chance of winning this, because I think Daniel Bryan's going to retain. What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Bryan retains. I think Bryan at Mania with the title is too big for WWE. I think that's pretty much nailed on as far as I'm concerned. So in the meantime, I reckon they this looks like it could be a great match, and it sets up some other stuff. We saw it ended with AJ and Randy Orton as the final two.
Are
when
you
they
collecting
faced
your food, Will?
That's absolutely what's just happened.
I can hear it, but I was trying to ignore it.
And Randy and AJ were the last two. I think they could. We might see. There's been rumours that that's a Mania match they're setting up, so I think that could end up being one a rivalry that's pushed in the chamber. Look, if Kofi wins it, I'll pop really hard, but I don't think it is going to happen. I don't think that's what they've got in mind for Kofi. And so I do think Daniel Bryan retains, but I also think with the talent in there, this has the potential to be something special.
What is going to be the match of the night? Would you go for that one?
Yeah, I think the men's chamber, I just think the women's tag chamber, as much as I want to say that's going to be the match of the night, there's too much potential for that to be a mess, for there not to be some distracting factors. I know what I meant.
Yeah, I understood you. No, I get what you're saying. I think it's going to take a lot of choreography to make that seamless and the standout match of the night. Whereas I think all the guys, purely because they're on their own, there's no tags, there's nothing to confuse it. It's just going to be straight up. Okay, good. Well, I mean, please let us know what you think at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter. If you disagree with us, if you think that, for example, Baron Corbin is going to topple Braun Strowman in what is probably the least important match of the night, then please let us know at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter. We'll end the show with a bit of indie stuff, Will. You've got a little bit of a guide to what's going on in the indie scene this week.
I've got a massive guide to what's going on in the indie scene now. So what's going to happen is that we're going to wrap up and then I'm going to record a massive guide to what you can check out in wrestling this coming week. There's so much cool stuff out there going on in the UK at the moment. It's one of the biggest weeks coming up, including stuff like the big event that Rev Pro have got on at York Hall this weekend with Pac against Will Ospreay. There's so much coming that we're going to wrap it and then I'm going to record this later and put it all out in one. All these changes and mess ups and everything will all come into one place and sound like one slickly produced pod.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that your chili chicken's just arrived, no?
Absolutely nothing to do with that, or that my wife just got home.
Excellent. Well, you know what? I'm going to get on with my life. Again, we're going to have a short pause, which to you will seem like 3 or 4 seconds, but in reality is going to be the amount of time it takes for Will to say hello to his wife and eat his Chinese food. So I'll say goodbye, and coming up, it's Will's Indie Guide. We'll see you next week. I'll see you next week. Will will see you in 3 seconds.
So apologies, today's podcast has been a little bit stop-start, a little bit all over the shop, but we got there eventually. I thought it was a really good, entertaining show, and we round things up with our look at what's happening in the UK and Ireland scene over the coming weeks. Well, it starts off with that major announcement regarding the New Japan in London in August. It's happening at 3 a.m. tonight, so the chances are you've listened to this podcast before that announcement has happened are pretty slim, but check out our Twitter page. We'll have reaction to whatever the announcement is. And of course, Rev Pro this Friday night, 15th, York Hall, high stakes, sold out, but you can still find tickets on. I saw some on Twickets the other day, and it's an unbelievable lineup, including Will Ospreay against Pac, which is, I don't have to tell you why that's going to be an unbelievable matchup. Aussie Open against CCK, the Brooks and Gresham version of CCK for high stakes on Friday. You've also got Zoe Lucas against Sami Jane for the Women's Championship. El Fantasma against MJF, who's doing a bunch of UK shows over the coming weeks and was really great when I saw him out in Arizona recently. And also MK McKinnon against the Great O Khan. So a real big, hard-hitting matchup. That one, that's on Friday evening, and then on Sunday evening Rev Pro have their monthly show in Southampton. Again, some really good matches on this one. Angelico going up against Chris Ridgeway, El Fantasma against Ash Draven. You've got Josh Bodum and Shah Samuels against Team White Wolf, and MK McKinnon against Kyle Fletcher of Aussie Open. So well worth getting down there on Sunday evening at Brunswick Square at the 1865 for that big Rev Pro show. OTT, Homecoming 2, the Super Show this Sunday, the one that we've been talking a lot about after that brilliant promo they put out ahead of the Devlin-David Starr matchup. But we've also got Walter against Pac going on, Ilya Dragunov in action, Will Ospreay in action, MJF again in action. There's a steel cage match, so that will, of course, be on there on demand as well. If you are in Ireland this weekend, though, if you can get to that, I think there are still tickets available for Sunday. It promises to be a really, really special show. ICW have announced even more information about Square Go for next weekend, and tickets are still available for the 8th annual Over the Top event. 4 world-class championship matches. We've gone through that card a few times already, but definitely one to get down and check out next Sunday, the 24th. We'll do a bit more of a preview towards that next week, maybe see if we can get Mark Dallas on or some of the ICW guys on. Progress-wise, I've just watched the Jimmy Havoc Will Ospreay Making Enemies documentary. It's about 50 minutes long, and it's on On-Demand Progress. If you've got On-Demand Progress, go and watch it, because it's brilliant. The rivalry, clearly, it's fascinating that they are interviewed separately and that actually you get very different versions of events, like their very famous curb stomp incident. They have very different versions of how that spot came about, for example, and it's quite funny watching them go back and forth and kind of argue it even though they're not in the same room. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's a brilliant documentary, and what it did was it made me go back and then watch a bunch of other shows and other matches from Progress to watch those two over time. I even saw Tyler Bate, I think, tweet the same thing, saying Tyler Bate effing great that he watched the documentary, loved it so much that he went back and watched some of the matches that were before his time in Progress. I mean, back when he was probably about 16-17 years old, so that's well worth going and have a look. They have announced a bunch more matches for their upcoming shows in Bournemouth at Progranaut. Clever. Chapter 85, that's on Saturday the 9th of March. They're doing Bournemouth and then another show on the South Coast, I think it is, both in that weekend. But it's a bunch of super strong style 16 qualifiers, including DJZ against Angelico. Again, great, exciting, high-flying action. We already knew about Austin Theory against Jordan Devlin. El Fantasma against Travis Banks. El Fantasma, Travis Banks already in the tournament. But El Fantasma, if he beats Banks, gets in there himself. And they've announced that Aussie Open are taking on Swords of Essex for the Tag Team Championship at next Sunday's show, the Electric Ballroom. So we'll have a bit more of a preview for that next week. I think myself and John and a few other guys will be going along to that. And they've also announced tickets for their show in Birmingham. If you're in the Midlands, Sunday the 10th of March, Corrupted Harmony, still some Chapter 86, still some tickets available for that show. This Friday night, Riptide in Brighton have their Deep Six event. We previewed this a little bit last week, but there's a bunch of great matches on the card there. Jack Sexsmith against Damon Moser, Mark Haskins against Chuck Mambo, the standouts, but Spike Trevais in action, Karen Awar in action, Ashmore in action, loads of Candy Floss, we've got Shakara, Session Moth, Paul Robinson. It's well worth checking out that show if you're in and around the South Coast. That's this Friday. Another announcement for Friday, PCW have got a show on at Prism in Leeds, and they've announced Jeff Cobb against Shigeru Irie. Go and check that out, because that is going to be as hard-hitting as it comes. Just the last few ones to mop up. Fight Club Pro, looking forward to their dream tag team invitational. That's at the kind of mid late April, Friday the 19th, Saturday the 20th, Saturday the 21st, across Wolverhampton and then Manchester for the third night. It's kind of like their version of Super Strong Style, but with or 16 karat gold or whichever tournament you want me to refer to, but it's a tag version, and they've announced some incredible tag teams for this. So they've got OVE turning up, Ohio versus Everything, so Cammy Hallahan and the Crists are going to be there. We're going to be getting Hallowed and Frightmare, the Legion Rock. We're going to be getting LAX and Tanner and Ortiz. We're going to be getting the Lucha Bros, Phoenix and Penta, who've just been announced for AEW. You're getting Pack and Eater in that. So honestly, five incredible tag teams already announced. It's going to be well worth, and the tickets are available now through Fight Club Pro for that weekend. Ahead of that one, they do have another International Techers show in March as well. And finally, EVE Pro Wrestling, their Global Women's Strike 2 was this past weekend. I heard some brilliant reports from it. Apparently Nina Samuels against Emi Sakura for the title was absolutely must see. So that is now on their on-demand service. You can go and watch it there. Also, Charlie Morgan, Martinez, Viper, Kaylee Ray, you, Martha, so many people involved this weekend. Apparently a really, really great show. So worth going and checking out. And this weekend at Defiant, just a match I wanted to point out, Aussie Open against Team White Wolf. Looks like it should be Akin and Carlos. Look like that would be an absolutely barnstormer. You'll be able to see it live in Newcastle on Saturday night or on their YouTube page on Sunday for free. So that's your roundup of the UK indie stuff. If you're going to a show this weekend, or if you've been to a show, send us your reviews, send us your photos. We will retweet, we will engage with it. So get it to us at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll have another show next week reviewing Elimination Chamber. So get involved on there. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered